this evening, Johanna Michelson. We've had her on in the past talking about her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil, but this evening we're going to be talking about her book, Like Lambs to the Slaughter, Your Child and the Occult. And, you know, most people know that when a child gets to be a certain age, they seem to be in revolt against their parents and against their parents' beliefs and against society. And so many of our young people are involved in illicit sex. They're involved in drugs and alcohol and smoking. And one of the great tragedies of today is when we compare American school students in, say, the fourth grade with students from throughout the rest of the world, our students do rather poorly. When, of course, we compare the eighth graders to students in academic achievement throughout the world, our students do worse. And when we get to the high school level and we compare American students with the graduates of high schools throughout the rest of the world, our children can't compete in many of the major issues dealing with physics, and we will be down in the 15th out of 16. Now, I would like to suggest this did not happen by accident, and as we talk this evening, you'll understand that they've replaced reading and writing and arithmetic with sex education and situational ethics and values clarification and death education and suicide education, and as Johanna makes it very clear in her book, this did not happen by accident. Johanna, thank you so very much for being with us tonight.
It's a pleasure to be with you again, Dr. Stan.
Well, why don't you sort of just pick up a little bit? Certainly you were motivated to write this book, really to try to warn parents, and what did it come out in the sometime in the 1980s, late 1980s?
It came out in 1989, and actually I'd been working on it for about 5 years. This was a rough book for me to write because much as I personally valued my own personal opinion, I figured when it comes down to speaking about what's going on with the kids and the schools, basically, who cares about my personal opinion? What I wanted to do was document as extensively as I could, to the tune, by the way, of about almost 700 footnotes, what the New Agers and the globalists and the occultists themselves are saying about what their plans are for the children in our school systems. And it's been unnerving, frankly, and I know you've had the same response, Dr. Stan, to see how diligently and how effectively they have been going right down their agenda and how successful they've been in carrying out much of what they were talking about back in the 70s and 80s.
And, you know, it's rather frightening to realize that in many of our schools today, why children are taught how to get in touch with their spirit guide, their inner self, their this guiding spirit that can guide them towards success in life. And what they're doing is our children in schools, sometimes as young as kindergarten, are being taught to, of course, contact demonic spirits. This is being done in schools. It's being done intentionally in many instances, in other cases unintentionally, by teachers who have been indoctrinated into these techniques. And we are paying our tax money to destroy the minds and the hearts and souls of children all across America as a stepping stone to the destruction of our way of life, preparing the people of this country for the coming world leader, that one we told about in 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. But where they talk about this man of sin is coming, he's discussed many places in the Bible, but he is to be the great world leader. So pick up the story there, Johanna.
Coming, Dr. Stan, it says in Scripture, with all power and signs and great wonders. This man's going to be coming, proclaiming himself to be God, and having the psychic powers and abilities to back it up. Now, if this fella had shown up back when we were growing up in the 40s and the 50s and the early 60s, we'd have locked him up. We'd have said, you're out of your mind. Today, though, he now is coming into a society that is quite prepared to accept that he's God. After all, we've all been taught that we're God. He's just going to be godier than the rest of us. So we've seen the New Age, and we could talk about the statistics all night. They're beyond staggering. They're beyond staggering. Millions of people involved since Shirley MacLaine launched her great thing. Now, the spiritual New Age umbrella is really no longer unfamiliar to us, and it's all working toward one thing, Dr. Stan, and you've spoken about it extensively, bringing about a utopian era And the only way that they know that they will be able to bring about the one world government, the one world monetary system, the one world food authority, the one world financial system that we're already seeing falling into place through the UN and the people who are working diligently behind them, is through a one world religion, because that is the only thing that is going to glue us together. Getting rid of the old-fashioned, outmoded perspectives that there is a dogmatic individual God who says, this is what I want, thou shalt not, or thou shalt. Getting rid of all the dogmas associated with Christianity or with the other world religions that claim exclusivity, and bringing people together through an experience, all diversity bound together by a religious experience into a one world religion. And so we're being set up with this. The fact is that the children are the key targets of this movement. You know, Hitler understood it. It was one thing for him to try to bring in his great Third Reich, his great thousand-year movement with the Aryan purity of race, etc. But he knew that while it was one thing to get rid of all the dissenters, which, by the way, is also being planned for the dissenters in this generation. Barbara Marx Hubbard talks about that. It was one thing to get rid of those who were standing against you. It was another thing to convert the adults, but it was fundamentally important to him, and he understood it well, to convert the children into his perspective, to brainwash them into a full, unquestioning acceptance of that. And really, that is what we're seeing now happening at every level. Not only with the media, with the toys, the games, the movies, the cartoons, the Star Wars, which was carefully designed to bring about a new religion, depending and looking to the Force rather than to a personal God. Seeing now then these things moving through the toys and the games into the school systems. And the whole general trend that we've been seeing of New Age occultism has saturated the schools, and it has been deliberately introduced. Now, I know some people think, boy, Johanna Michelson has flipped out. She and Dr. Stan are talking about all this conspiracy stuff, and they're out of their minds. The fact is, the documentation is there, Dr. Stan, as you well know. I know you've been researching this for decades. And is it a conspiracy? All right, let's put it this way. Who knows? But if it isn't, then time plus chance are doing one awesome job of programming an entire civilization into New Age occultism. Now, why are they doing that? Hitler's principle. They who control the youth control the future. Now, one of the great New Age gurus, if you will, and you quoted her in your last newsletter. I was very pleased to see how much you focused on her, Dr. Stan, because she's still very important and very active today, is Marilyn Ferguson. And she said in her landmark book, her New Age Bible, if you will, a watershed classic, it was called, by American booksellers, The Aquarians Conspiracy, she laid out this whole conspiracy there, although she calls it a leaderless revolution. I'm not too sure how totally leaderless it is. Ultimately, the one leader we can prove from a biblical perspective to be behind it is Satan. But she devoted an entire chapter, among many other aspects of this Aquarian conspiracy, this transformation of society that they're working towards, they devoted an entire chapter, chapter 9, to education. And she called the chapter Flying and Seeing, New Ways to Learn. And it was very fascinating for me to see that she said, for example, on page 280, you can only have a new society, the visionaries said, the language here is fascinating, if you change the education of the younger generation. And she's absolutely right.
Now, let me just, for our listeners out there, mention that this book is called The Aquarian Conspiracy, The Aquarian Conspiracy by Marilyn Ferguson. It is out of print, but I'm sure you can get them at used bookstores or up on Amazon.com. Yep. It is a very important book, and let me recommend it to you very, very strongly. I get it. Read it through. Of course, we do quote it extensively in our latest newsletter, but you need to read the whole book through. She lays the whole story out, and she tells you there are people working at the highest levels of our government within the White House itself, and she's part of this movement. She's not minimizing it at all. She's being quite candid with the people who will read it, that there really is a vast movement that most people are totally unaware of. And how could it be that if there's such a vast movement, we don't know about it? Why, very simply, because they control the media, and they determine what we think, what we believe, and ultimately create our reality. So go right ahead, Joanna.
Well, there's a lot of truth in that, Dr. Stan, and even though her book may be out of print, the impact of it cannot be underestimated because it played its role, and as you mentioned, it is still available. And we recommend it not because we think it's a really terrific, wonderful book that's going to help you. We suggest it be read for the one purpose of equipping yourself and understanding what the enemy's talking about. I mean, oh, you understand it on a football field. No coach of a football team is going to lead his people into battle, if you will, with the opposing team without studying the opposing team. The problem is that while Scripture has told us to be aware of the schemes of the devil, the church wouldn't know a scheme if it ran us over in the middle of the street, Dr. Stan. And now here we've got, and this is picked up by numerous others across the board, who says of the Aquarius, she said more were involved in education than in any other single category of work. They were the teachers, the administrators, the policymakers, the educational psychologists. And their consensus was, gee, we've really got to get into this and change the education. And then listen to the language here, because it is just, it annoyed the daylights out of me, but here's how they do it. So there are heroes in education, and there have always been heroes trying to transcend the limits of the old structure. Translation, gee, reading, writing, and arithmetic are such a bore. We need to transcend these limits of the old structure. But unfortunately, she said, their efforts are too often thwarted by peers and administrators and parents. And then she talks about Mario Fantini, who was a former Ford consultant on education. And at the time of the writing of this, of her Aquarian Conspiracy, he was at the State University of New York. And he said very bluntly, the psychology of becoming has to be smuggled into the schools. And you know what? That's exactly what they've been doing. You've got a whole bunch of teachers who understand the importance of this transformation, but you know what? They can't just show up at your average school board meeting and inform and announce that they plan to convert the local public school into New Age, Hindu, occultic, mystical, shamanistic, globalist, neo-pagan ashram seminary. They need to smuggle it in. And one of their, in fact, echoing, ever-popular, recurring things, and you will see it over and over in their material, is change the terminology. You know, one New Age activist back in a little New Age rag that I picked up in Malibu on the beach back in 1986 said something that still is applicable today as it was back then. He was talking about a Southern California PhD director of a successful hypnosis center who was employing several publicly held companies to teach success and positive thinking to the employees. She never mentions the words metaphysics or New Age, but the ideas are nothing else, says Dick Sutphin. And we know the ideas work because the individuals will experience the positive change in their lives. He said, one of the biggest advantages we have as New Agers is once the occult, metaphysical, and New Age terminology is removed, we have concepts and techniques that are very acceptable to the general public. So we can change the names and demonstrate the power. In so doing, we open the New Age door to millions who would normally not be receptive. They weren't joking, Dr. Stan. They have literally smuggled it into the schools. Now, you say, boy, all right, prove it. Who are you talking about here? All right, I think most of our audience, Dr. Stan, would be familiar with, for example, let me just mention one very well-known individual who was prominent in smuggling this into the school system, was a man you would perhaps know best as one of the editors and promoters of the Chicken Soup for the Soul, Chicken Soup for the Housewife, Chicken Soup for the Pet Lover, Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul. I'll tell you what, Dr. Stan, it put me off chicken soup for about 4 years, and I'm still not altogether over it. Jack Canfield is, God bless him, he's a piece of work. This man is a well-known, respected New Ager who has been for decades now, at least since the mid-70s, trying to promote self-esteem programs and teaching not only business people but the educational system how to bring in a new model. And he was part of the self-esteem task force for that was established here in California. It was going for a number of years back in the 80s, promoted by Assemblyman John Vasconcellos, who then became a state senator for two terms. He's since retired from public life. But I will tell you, Dr. Stan, I started attending these self-esteem meetings because when I found out Jack Canfield was part of it, so we were talking about what on earth is transpersonal, because that was the model of psychology that was then following the humanist psychology and that became the model for education. And let me give you a definition, because it really puts everything that's been going on, I think, with the children, not only in the schools, but in society at large, into a whole new perspective. Thomas Bradford Roberts wrote an article for Phi Delta Kappa, which was the influential journal for school administrators. This was back, when we're 1974. And he said basically this: transpersonal psychology is both philosophically very old and psychologically very new. It is old in the sense that many of the topics it investigates have intrigued humans for thousands of years. Yeah, major understatement. These topics include altered states of consciousness, such as meditation and dreams, man's impulse toward higher states of being, such as peak experiences, self-transcendence, and spiritual growth. It's, by the way, that impulse is the same impulse that the yogis are seeking for when they try to experience personal divinity, nirvana, cosmic consciousness. The psychic phenomena, including parapsychology. Now, he says, while men have thought about these areas for millennia, transpersonal psychology is studying their psychological aspects. Here is the key word, people, scientifically, rather than relegating them to the realms of religion, mysticism, or the occult, which, frankly, is where they belong. Because you're talking about realms of religion, mysticism, or the occult. But what the transpersonal educators and psychologists did, Dr. Stan, was they felt, hey, we're taking all of these ancient, occultic, fascinating phenomena and beliefs. Okay, we'll remove the feathers and the rattles, and we'll take off the masks that the shamans use, and we'll put on little white lab coats instead. We'll plug it into the wall and call it science. And so, therefore, that makes it scientific. Well, no, it isn't. It's still in the realm of religion, mysticism, and the occult. But they sanitized it, if you will. They gave it, if you will, the good housekeeping seal of sanitized approval. And then they brought it into the school systems. A more modern input into the transpersonal area comes from the psychological research in the nervous system. You know, the whole left brain, right brain, which some of us back in that day took to calling broccoli brain or no brain, where they felt, look, we're too rationalistic in our society. We are too right-brain-oriented. What we need to do is step into the left brain, the mystical, the artistic, the creative, the metaphysical side, and we need to bring these areas in together. And so that's precisely what they did.
Well, I think, you know, it's so important that people understand that this is a religion. They brought a new religion to our schools. Now, they took Christianity and any mention of God out of our schools, and this was done intentionally because, after all, you know, these truly supernatural experiences which come from the dark side cannot coexist with the God of the Bible. I mean, you put the two of them in conflict, and the forces of darkness always flee, because just like a vampire at the first rays of dawn. So they placed people on the United States Supreme Court between 1941 and 1971. The Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court in majorities of 5-4 to 8-1. And during that time, they took God and prayer and any mention of anything dealing with the divine, by divine, I mean the God of the Bible, out of our schools. And once you had that removed, then they could bring in the demonic. And this truly would be demonic, isn't it?
Well, it is, although they would deny that with a passion, Dr. Stan, but you're absolutely right. I mean, as far back as 1947, this isn't something new that just sort of burst on the scene suddenly with the hippies. Back in 1947, and even before that, Alice Bailey, the high priestess of the New Age movement, if you will, wrote a book, rather she channeled it, her spirit guide, a demon who called himself Joal Cool, or VK for short. She channeled a book called Education in the New Age, which basically laid out the whole program that we have seen now put into practice. And she told us, really, the whole thing of the book in a nutshell is that enlightenment is the major goal of education. Well, enlightenment has been the goal of the gurus and the yogis and the shamans and the mystics and the meditators for thousands of years.
Johanna is talking about Alice Bailey, and Alice Bailey was really the leader of the New Age movement during the first half of the last century. She had actually organized, I think it was in about 1921, the Lucifer Publishing House, became the Lucius Trust the following year. These people were Luciferians. Alice Bailey actually channeled, I think it was 24 books, mm-hmm. by a demonic spirit named Joao Cool. And one of her major disciples was an Italian brain surgeon and you pick up the story there.
Who was her disciple, was her interpreter, and he began trying to see how he could get these wonderful, quote-unquote, teachings into the school systems. And in fact, one of his disciples was someone named Eva Fugit. He had stated and admonished at least one of his many disciples, a Northern California public school teacher, elementary school teacher, Eva Fugit, to take it back to the children. Take these wonderful principles that have been given to us by the master, Joao Cool, through Alice Bailey. Take all of these transpersonal, occultic, ancient, Hindu, Eastern, mystical, shamanistic belief systems, techniques, technologies, practices of guided imagery, visualization, meeting your spirit guide, bring it into the schools. And she took him up on it. And so she wrote a book called E Hit Me Back First, Creative Visualization Activities for Parenting and Teaching to Help Her Pupils Contact What She Calls the Wise Part Within Themselves. Now, the wise part, what on earth is the wise part within yourself? The wise part within yourself is that part of yourself, they claim, that is inherently divine. So what they were trying to do through bringing in techniques that were long honored in occultism, of guided imagery visualization, how to introduce the kids to their spirit guides, how to, as Jack Canfield was talking about, teach the kids how to draw their own mandalas, teach them how to chant, teach them how to meet their guardian spirit. As a matter of fact, Jack Canfield had a whole life purpose exercise, which he said was one of the most central concepts in New Age education, working with a life purpose. And after doing some centering activities, which, by the way, when you hear centering or relaxation techniques, think meditation techniques. Think hypnosis techniques, because that's precisely exactly what they were bringing in. Techniques that I use to meet my spirit guides, Dr. Stan, or what they're using to introduce the kids to, doing regression therapy on the kids. For example, after doing these centering activities, Jack Canfield advises the teachers, students are asked to review their life in reverse, starting in the present, going back over time before they were born, and here they meet a guardian spirit whom they ask, what is my life purpose? They then review their life in the other direction, coming forward in time and recognizing and reconsidering the events of their life in light of their life purpose. And I will tell you, what they are doing, Dr. Stan, what they were doing then and what we're seeing the fruit of now, is kids who were introduced by the countless hundreds of thousands to spirit guides in the public school classrooms. Not introduced to them as spirit guides, because, of course, as Jack Canfield so wisely advised his people, by the way, he says, P.S., when you're in the public school classroom, don't call it meditation. Don't call them spirit guides. Call it centering. Call it relaxation techniques. Call it introducing kids to their wise person. It can be the little white bunny, as one classroom teacher would do. The results will be the same. Who cares what you call it? Change the terminology. They will have the experience. And in fact, here they said, meeting your spirit guide. Says one occultist in a book that I was rather fond of as an occultist, by Shakti Gawain and Marcus Allen. These spirit guides, they don't care what you call them. They have many names, forms of the higher self, counselor, inner master, divine master, spirit guide, guardian angel. Boy, are we big on guardian angels today. I wish we could do part of a program on that one of these days. I like to call them spirit guides. Feel free to substitute any name you wish. There are many ways to meet your spirit guides. Many different traditions and techniques employ these practices, but they will all lead you to the same thing. Introduction to your personal demon, who is going to now guide you into all the new understanding that you need. That, gee, I don't need to go to church and listen to this narrow-minded, dogmatic, fundamentalist, Bible-thumping pastor or my mom and dad. You know, I can now be, well, the new thing on the landscape today, an indigo child. You know, there's a new movie that's come out now, Indigo Children, that's put out by the newest channelers today, Neil Donald Walsh, who perhaps your audience will remember and wrote Channeled, three best-selling books called Conversations with God, in which he presented the most heretical, blasphemous, contradictory to the scripture pile of demonic nonsense you have ever read in your life. And they are now putting out movies about these psychic children, indigo children. But you don't have to look any further, Dr. Stan, than the Harry Potter film. You know, we now have a whole generation of parents. We started out perhaps with Casper the Friendly Ghost. And you remember the little ditty on Casper the Friendly Ghost, Dr. Stan?
No, I really don't.
Oh, well, some of us will remember Casper the Friendly Ghost, the friendliest ghost I know. Parents don't understand. The children all love him so. Even back as far as your stupid little Casper the Friendly Ghost cartoons, you had the children being the focus. Now, what are we seeing? A whole group to the tune of 7 million books sold in 24 hours in this country alone of Harry Potter books that now have gone beyond anything Tolkien introduced, anything beyond C.S. Lewis's occultism. And by the way, he was tinged with a good deal of occultism himself. He talks about it in his autobiography.
Now, this was before he became a Christian, of course.
Yes, obviously, before he became a Christian, but some of the influences are still there, but nothing like what we see with the Harry Potter materials, Dr. Stan, which now has influenced an entire generation of children, not just in this country, but across the world, into a fascination with learning how to put into practice themselves the technologies, the witchcraft principles. And some people say, oh, get off it, Johanna. Some of the biggest Christian ministries have endorsed the Harry Potter series. Yeah, that is true. And I got to tell you, Dr. Stan, it breaks my little heart.
And of course, we look at the country we live in today, and if those Christian ministries are doing a good job, then why is our country really as corrupt and evil as it is? If our ministries were really doing their job, we would not be living in a fallen pagan nation.
Well, you know, the fact is, it's the pastors who are doing the job, and you really hit on something that is so true. You know, it's easy to get smug about the lack of discernment, but the fact is, it's the fault of the church. The churches, you know, when we threw out all of the myths in the Bible with Bultmann, for example, in the early 1900s, and all the seminaries had the revised Bible where, obviously, in a modern sophisticated society, we couldn't believe in things like miracles or the virgin birth or raising the dead or ascending into heaven or nonsense like that. No. We all know that that was the language of naive children 2,000 years ago. We're more sophisticated today. Well, the pendulum swung the other way then in the 70s and 80s and 90s, where then suddenly anything that was miraculous was from God, because we knew that that perspective wasn't altogether right on. But in between, the church has been so torn and pulled with nonsense and stupidities, and we have been so interested in building mega churches and user-friendly congregations that we have totally negated and forgotten and left aside the command of Scripture to be alert, to test the spirits, that false Christs and false prophets would arise. You know, and we have totally left it to one side in our Stampede for user-friendly mochaccino frappuccino services, where half the pastors in some areas, I hate to tell you, are dressing up like Albus Dumbledore to give their sermons. And we wonder why we're in the condition we're in, Dr. Stan, where we've got a group now, an entire generation of kids who have been so desensitized to occultism, to witchcraft, to wizardry, to Satanism, to psychic phenomena, that they have accepted it as par for the course. Back when the first Harry Potter books came out, there was, by God's grace and to their credit, a tremendous outcry of parents across the country saying, there is something wrong with this, I do not want it in the schools. Now, the teachers and the school principals and the libraries couldn't be more pleased. An article came out somewhere, I've got it around here someplace, just absolutely so relieved that they're no longer seeing the same kind of outcry on this book. In fact, gee, they're even winning over the Christian ministries, the Christian parents, the Christian kids now are buying these books and thinking that, you know, as they're reading books by Connie Neal, God bless her, that we can use Harry Potter to teach the gospel. You know, oxymoron, oxymoron.
One of the ministers or assistant ministers of one of our major churches said that, these books actually helped to minister to him.
Well, it tells you the sorry state of discernment in the church today, Dr. Sten. We have disobeyed the command of the Lord, and yes, it ministers to you. You can pull whatever you want out of it, but I will tell you, there are countless thousands of children who understand exactly what Harry Potter was all about, and it wasn't the Christian gospel. In fact, the Pagan Federation, back in August of 2000, I mean, there were articles that were coming out all over the place. The Pagan Federation, one of the major Wiccan, neo-pagan organizations, witches organizations, they had to appoint a youth officer to deal with a flood of inquiries following the success of Harry Potter's books, which describe magic and wizardry. They had kids calling them by the hundreds, saying, please, please, do you all have a school like little Harry and Hermione and the Weasleys went to? Do you have a school of witchcraft and wizardry we can attend? And this media officer, this witch, Andy Norfolk, said, in response to the increased inquiries coming from youngsters, we established a youth officer. Oh, not to promote paganism, because that would be against pagan ethics, yeah, right? But to merely answer these queries and allow someone to offer advice and information. Parents shouldn't be alarmed by their children's sudden interest in magic, says this neo-pagan. But I will tell you, we have reached a point now where I can tell you personally of a church I know very well, where the daughter of the worship leader got into Gothic, dressed all in black, was into Smashing Pumpkins. She wasn't into Smashing with the Gourds, by the way. That was a musical group that was popular back a few years ago. And who decided that witchcraft and Satanism were terrific. She found out about it on the Internet. And she was teaching half the kids in the Sunday school, in the youth group, the teenagers, how to set up their own witchcraft pagan altars, stuff that they picked up at your local Borders or bookstores, the witch kits put out by Silver Raven Wolf, teaching the kids how to set up their own witchcraft altars, teaching parents not to be upset about their kids being a witch. She was even involved in Satanism, Dr. Stan, thinking that Marilyn Manson music for the skate park that particular youth group had was a terrific selection of music to skate by. And it was all led by her best friend, who happened to have been a Satanist for some time. And when the pastor of this church I was aware of called the pastor of this young woman and said, look, do you know what this girl is getting our kids into, that she's involved in Satanism, that she's put up a curse poster in our church, demonic to the core, leading our kids into lying on graves and developing psychic abilities and all the perversion that went with it, which I won't even mention on the air. Do you know what this pastor of this big church in Southern California said? He said, oh, they're asked her, don't be too upset. Yes, I know she's been into Satanism. She's been into it for years. It's just a fad. It will go away.
And, you know, really, as we remember starting here just in a few weeks, why they'll be having the new season of the Medium. Fascinating program.
Mm-hmm.
Very entertaining program. Very appealing program. And this woman has these supernatural powers, which I know you're acquainted with, and she's able to contact the spirits, and she's able to help the local district attorney solve the crimes, and she can find the bodies, she can actually tap into the supernatural, and people are fascinated. This is one of the most popular programs on the coming season of television. And yet, of course, it's really all about the things we're talking about. You could never have a program about Christianity like that. Because, of course, the purpose of our entertainment industry is to destroy our belief in the God of the Bible and to introduce us to the dark side.
And while it may sound outlandish and ridiculous and hysterical, may we assure our audience the documentation is there. I have it in my book, Like Lambs to the Slaughter, Your Child in the Occult. Farah Chose has written some excellent material and books. Her website really is wonderful for updated information on Harry Potter and the whole trend of occultism in the schools. Done some wonderful work on that. There are a number of people who've been really pursuing this, Dr. Stan. The documentation is there. These people are doing it, and we are seeing the effect now with people who are desensitized to occultism, and now witchcraft is the fastest growing religion, Dr. Stan, on numerous school campuses across this country.
And let me just point out, if you'd like to go to Barrett Chose's website, it's crossroad.to. That's crossroad.s. That's crossroad.to. To for Tonga. So you can remember it that way if you have any question. Go there. I certainly agree. Barrett has done wonderful work on all of these various aspects, specifically on Harry Potter, but this whole world occult conspiracy, because it is a cult conspiracy, because they talk about it as a conspiracy. They understand what's going on. They just don't want you out there in the listening audience to understand. Questions on? And Joanna was simply quoting from Isaiah, telling his listeners that they could either raise their children the way that Babylonians did, tapping into the cult, or they could raise their children as the parents of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. And Daniel, go ahead, finish up, and we're going to have to let you go.
Children who were even in the midst of an occult pagan society, when confronted with being burned alive for their refusal to compromise, were willing to do that rather than give in to the occultic demonic practices of that age. And that is the choice that is facing parents today. God has called every form of abomination in the school systems of occultism, of transpersonal psychology, complete and total abomination. Everything from the superstitions to the contacting of the spirit guides, the mediumship, and everything in between. He's not going to bless it just because you call it scientific and are sincere in your endeavors with it. Be alert, parents. Arm yourselves. Gather the information. Come close to the Lord and teach your children not to compromise. Do not learn the way of the heathen, says Jeremiah 10. Be imitators of God. And I can't see the Lord Jesus Christ lying on the floor doing hypnotic techniques to meet his spirit guide as something that is a model for us. Wake up, parents.
God bless you. Thank you so very much, Joanna.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Good night.